Good morning and welcome to the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, FPC, to our friends and members, a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Sharon Brownfield and I serve on the Board of Trustees as your Vice President. Cindy Lanthrum is our minister. If this is the first time with us, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, fpc-stowe-acton. .org for news and information. You can also sign up there for our newsletter alerts. Following the service, for those who will be joining us by video or phone, you are invited to join us for a virtual coffee hour where you will be arbitrarily put you into small groups of 4 to 6 people who you can chat with to get out and those. And our virtual coffee hour discussion groups will last about 15 minutes. For those in the parking lot, you're invited to get out, chat with each other at the end of the service, but we do ask you to maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet, and then you do not gather in groups larger than 10 on any side of the building. Reverend Cindy will also invite you to honk your horns at the end of the postlude. Children are welcome in our service today. For more information on religious education, gatherings, and events, please contact our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote. So now, let us come together in the spirit of worship.
These opening words are by Gretchen Haley. Give up the fight for some other moment, some other life than here and now. Give up the longing for some other world, the wishing for other choices to make, other songs to sing, other bodies, other ages, other countries, other stakes. Purge the past, forgive the future, for each come too soon. Surrender only to this life, this day, this hour, because it does not constantly break your heart, but because it also beckons with beauty. Startles with delight if we only keep waking up. This is the gift we have been given. These body clothes, this heartbreak, this pulse, this breath, this light, these friends, this hope. Here we remember ourselves, all a part of it all, giving thanks together. Come, let us worship. Now, Neil Saunders will share some chalice lighting words as Peter lights our chalice here in my office.
We light our chalice today in honor of those who have mothered us, fathered us, parented us, nurtured us, and mentored us. For all those who have been guiding beacons, lighting our way through life, we give thanks.
Our opening hymn is number 38, Morning Has Broken, a perennial favorite.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where God's feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning. God's recreation of the new day.
Thank you, Mike. And now I invite Ann Sadler to lead us in our covenant and affirmation this morning. And we're going to do this the same way we've done it in weeks past, where a few of you can raise your hands and our Zoom host will unmute you so that you can join in the words of covenant. And the rest of us will join in unmute.
Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung through every land by every tongue.
Thank you, Mike. And now we're going to have Michelle Cote share a message for all ages.
So this message, it specifically is directed to mothers and parents, but also to anyone, whether you have a mother or father with you, anyone who has some other person they care for in their lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that I get so caught up in the to-do list that I don't put my family as the to-do. And I think that we're all meeting that now, some of us more specifically, especially if you have young children, of how to figure out like how to still balance everything and the to-do. And this book I've read before, and it's one of my favorite. It's called Busy, Busy, Busy. And it's about a mom and a little boy and their different expectations and how the boy comes in and saves the day. One fine day, my mom was in a bad mood. She wouldn't give me a cookie or read me a story or play or anything. Mom said there was just too much to do. She had beds to make and meals to cook and clothes to wash. She said she was chained to the kitchen sink all day. She said I had to go away and play by myself. So I did. I played and went upstairs and I even sorted out the farm and I tidied up my cars. I even found a long lost sock. But all the while down below, I could still hear Mom crashing around with her bad mood. Then suddenly, the whole house went quiet. I listened very hard, but I couldn't hear a thing. So I tiptoed downstairs to see what was going on. The kitchen door was open a tiny crack. I slowly opened it and I peeked inside. And there was my mom, standing very still. Her hands were stuck in the sink and two big tears rolled down her cheeks. In a flash, I was onto the chair. I wiped away her tears. I gave her a great big kiss. Then I pulled her arms from the water and shouted, snip, 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 to those chains around the sink. They all fell off like magic. Come on, Mom, I said, quick, before it's too late. So we grabbed hands and we ran down the hall into the sunshine. Just the two of us. Just in time. So I know that we all have these challenges of trying to balance the COVID-19 restrictions and the work and the home and the kids, but try and find some time to snip those chains and just find time to be with each other. And today it's hard for all of us that aren't with our moms and can't be with our moms for many different reasons, but at least try giving them a call We're driving to Nashua just so I can drop off a plant and come back. But it's the way that I can acknowledge my mom. So I think, and I'm not even talking just moms. I'm talking about anyone who's important in your life. Think about them today and think about snipping the change and just spending some time being and just being. That's my message for all today. And please enjoy your day.
Thank you, Michelle. These words for prayer or meditation come from Sarah Goodman. This is a prayer for parenting in a pandemic, a prayer for the dirty laundry and piled up dishes, a prayer for dance parties and cuddle puddles, for long walks and improvised science experiments, for screen time as education and distraction. This is a prayer for working parents Zooming another meeting with a little face joining in, for new parents waiting for new life without support, for the single parents doing this all alone, for parents who are on the front lines and essential workers who worry every day about being away from home, about bringing something home, about holding it all together as you hold the world together. This is a prayer for the more than 200 meals you've made, for the 100 millionth time you've heard, "Can I have a snack?" For the 5 minutes of alone time you can squeak out every day. For the 2, 4, 6, 60 gray hairs you've acquired so far. This is a prayer for the meltdowns, the missed naps, the many, many tears, the distance learning homework no one wants to do but still somehow feel the need to fight about. This is a prayer for wondering if they will ever fall asleep, for wondering if they will ever get up, a prayer for pretending that you're enjoying yourself while you all play their favorite game. This is a prayer for all the missed milestones, for holding your child as they cry over missing their friends, missing their prom, missing their graduation, for your own tears because you can't fix this problem. This is for all the milestones still marked, the public birthday party parades and Zoom proms hosted by celebrities, the family celebrations of learning to walk and the first loose tooth, the private personal celebrations of the many ways you've watched your children grow and mature right close up. This prayer is for all the newly formed family bands and midday pajama-clad dance parties, for all the backyard bathing, for the new trampolines, new bikes, new play structures, a prayer for inside obstacle courses and learning to make new crafts, for all the pets that have joined new families. This is a prayer for bonding and breaking, for togetherness and too much togetherness. This is a prayer for love, for anger, for grief, for time out of time. This is a prayer for parenting in a pandemic. Let's have a moment of silence. Blessed be, and amen. Our offering is shared this month with the Boston Area Gleaners, and more about them can be found in your email announcements and on the announcements found online in the online version of your order of service insert. We are particularly grateful for your support during this time. As you know, churches and other institutions face a lot of financial struggle, and we're not immune from that. We've had lost rental income and fundraisers canceled, and so every dollar that you can give matters at this time. You can give in several different ways. One is to your through the mail to our address, or to, if you know it, our P.O. box number if you're sending in pledge amounts. Pledge amounts can also go to our regular address just so long as they're clearly labeled as pledges. You can also make donations through our website, which is at fpc-stow-acton.org/donate. and by text to 978-310-3309. And all that information is in the order of service, which is posted under this week's link in the Sunday services information on our website. So we'll now have a moment for you to find a way to do one of those things as we hear this piece by Sankey. Oh, my mistake. I didn't have my order of service downloaded. This is Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Are not your children. They are the sons and the daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but they are not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You can give them your love, but not your thoughts. They have their own thoughts. They have their own thoughts. You can house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in a place of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, till not even in your dreams. You can strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Strive to be like them. But you cannot make them just like you. Mm-mm. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and the daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but they are not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You can give them your love, but not your thoughts. They have their own thoughts. They have their own thoughts. You can house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in a place of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You can strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you.
So, parenting is different now. It's different in so many ways already, this generation compared with different generations. I thought about this a lot over the years, how this generation of parenting is, and every generation changes how we do things. So, for example, when I was a child, there was still something left of the attitude of children should be seen and not heard. But even so, it was much less than it had been for my parents' generation. Compare that to now, two generations later, where the parenting style is that children should be taught to express themselves. Or when I was a child, getting babysitters so that parents could have a night out was a weekly event. But I know that among my parent friends, there are many who have basically never hired a babysitter. On the weekend, they're doing family activities together. I think we've had a babysitter like twice ever, other than family members babysitting. Or our approach to bullying. When I was a child, you taught your child to fight back to the bully, and that was the answer. There was never any focus then on the bully's behavior. Or even our approach to a crying baby changes over the generations. Do you let a child cry it out at night, or do you run to them? These standards and ideals, how they change, can cause conflict across generations. In every generation, some grandparents have given new parents unsolicited advice or criticized the new way of parenting or gave outdated and incorrect information according to the latest medical science. It's hard to make generalizations about a whole group, but here I go. What's true of most parents right now is that they've had super high expectations that they've placed on themselves in every regard from day one, to research and understand everything, to make the right choices in every regard. Not all parents, but many parents worry and research about everything these days, feeling the weight on their shoulders to make sure they're making the right decisions themselves, from vaccination schedules to what kind of milk or just the right amount of screen time or no screen time at all. And they do this while working often two or more jobs, juggling schedules, and spending every last minute they can with their children, forsaking attention to their own interests, their relationship with their partner, and more. Or they don't do all this, and they feel guilty about it. Society sets up expectations of the supermom and the super dad, the super parent, and we fall short over and over and over again. This idea of raising our children with tons of parental time, with homemade, organic, vegetarian meals and no screen time and arts and crafts and homeschooling or unschooling or getting our kids into just the best schools to prepare them for college. And there's no right answers. So no matter what, we fall short. And now, along comes COVID-19, and these parents, already stressed, are suddenly thrown into a whole new world. We're all homeschooling and doing it in a way that's frustrating and difficult even for the homeschooling pros, because homeschooling pros who chose that path did it and learned things over years of time and did it with groups of friends, and they take their kids on outings and do lots of things to break up their day, which are not possible to any of us right now. And those who didn't homeschool, they're thrust into this new reality that they didn't choose, and their kids didn't choose it either. So one of the things I wanted to say is that right now, there is no way to do this right. It is completely unfair. It's unrealistic that you can handle this well, and, well, it's awful. It's awful and wonderful, and then awful again and wonderful again. I am so aware that I have it so easy right now compared to the situation of a lot of other parents. I have only one child. She's a teenager, and so she's fairly sufficient in doing her own schoolwork. And she's not a senior, so she's not graduating, and we're not missing so many of those big events. Although even still, there are some missed spring musicals, missed band camps, and drum major academy over the summer, and other events we were looking forward to, spring concerts. And I also have a spouse who's unemployed right now, so we're navigating only one job with the home parenting situation. And yet at the same time, I too feel a bit of it, because even for us, it hasn't been without its challenges. Even with only one parent working, the needs of parenting during the time of COVID-19 have impacted my work more than once. I've shared some details and some check-ins with some of you, so I'm not going to go into details here. But being a minister and a parent is something where one always affects the other, and vice versa. Even so, there are many challenges I'm lucky not to be facing. I spoke with my sister this week, who teaches school in the public school system in Lansing. She has a classroom full of kids who are low income and have various challenges going on in their lives. She tells me that a good percentage of her kids are just unable to do schoolwork right now, and she's just said that's got to be okay. They're on early summer, and that's that. Some of them lack internet. Some of them lack computer equipment to get onto the internet. Some of them have trouble with getting to school assignments because of their parents' work schedules. In one case, a parent who had been exposed to the virus sent the child to live with grandparents, and the grandparents had no internet. Sometimes kids just can't do schoolwork in this new way. It just does not work for them. And that's one thing I can relate to. We've been having trouble in that regard too. It's clear to me that my daughter will never choose to have an online course ever in college. Some of you may have those challenges, and then there are also other challenges. Challenges of dealing with children with mental health issues or who have special needs when it comes to how they learn. Or households where the parents are struggling with mental health issues as well, or other tensions, financial tensions, other issues. All of those pre-existing tensions and struggles in our life are exacerbated and made more difficult during this time when we are all thrust together 24/7 and then have on top of that the tension and fears of this moment. There's the struggle of working from home when you haven't been before, of switching your entire work style and being responsible for your work while having to deal with children who need constant attention too. And we're given impossible messages, like the old message still out there of we should limit screen time. How do we limit screen time? Limit screen time? I have given up on that. How can we, when all schooling is on screen and all friend contact is on screen? Or the messages we can still get through social media today, we're seeing all the wonderful things that our friends are doing, which always on social media sets up an expectation of, gosh, I should be like that. But right now it can be an overwhelming expectation. You mean I'm supposed to be working and homeschooling my child, and I'm also supposed to be breaking bread? Or I'm supposed to be homeschooling, working, homeschooling my child, baking bread, and learning to knit? So wait, I'm supposed to be homeschooling, working from home, baking bread, knitting, and also doing picnics every day? And I'm supposed to be working from home, homeschooling, baking, knitting, picnicking, and also taking lots of time to enjoy nature together? The list goes on. Some of us are busier than ever, juggling our kids, working both, doing both full time, all the while being blasted with cheery messages about how we should make this time with our children super special. Enough. Yes, there are some special, wonderful moments that we are having. There are some times in this that we treasure. Some memories are being created. But here's what I wanted to say most of all to all of you parents, grandparents, people who mother and parent and father in different ways, to all of you, you are enough. The choices you are making, the ways you are managing, how you are surviving, it is enough. And as long as you are loving your child and keeping them safe from harm to whatever extent is possible in this mixed up world, you are doing great, and we thank you. Now, that being said, there are a few more things we can say. This is a time of heightened anxiety, and it is a time of an unknown future. And it can be hard to talk to our children about that. And during this time, especially the little ones who might not have trouble understanding or might have trouble understanding, or you might worry that they will feel guilty then if someone does get sick in your family. However you're choosing to manage how you deal with this, you are enough. Just remember, too, that we are in this together. Reach out to one another. We can't come over to one another's houses the same way and parent each other's kids, look after ones, give each other's breaks the same way. Although sometimes we can. Some families are choosing to do it in teams to say, we're limiting our social circle to these two families together so that we can parent each other's children and give each other breaks and do things together. There are ways we can be creative in how we support one another through this. If it's video time with grandparents, who when grandparents are on video time so parents can take a break or get some work done, that's wonderful. However you're doing it and however you're sharing those ideas with each other, that's a wonderful thing to be doing right now. So, happy Mother's Day. Happy Parents' Day. Thank you all for the good work you do in bringing up our next generation. We will get through this time together. And we will be changed by it, and nothing will be the same. And yet one thing does remain the same: the love, the commitment, the care we have for our children. These things endure. May it be so. Our closing hymn today is number 128, "For All That Is Our Life." And please join Mike in singing on mute.
For all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise. For all life is a gift, which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad. For needs which others serve, for services we give, for work and its rewards, for hours of rest and love, we come with praise and thanks for all that is our life. For sorrow we must bear, for failures, pain, and loss, for each new thing we learn, for fearful hours that pass, we come with praise and thanks for all that is our life. For all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise, for all life is a gift which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad.
Our closing words today are by Lindsay Bates. With faith in the creative powers of life, with hope for the future of life in this world, with love for all others who share this life with us, let us go forward together in peace. Our service has ended. Let our service begin.
Peace be with you till we meet again, as life lays its task before you. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Peace be with you till we meet again.